Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey everybody, what is up? Welcome. It is the Wednesday edition here, the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast, all presented to you by our friends over at FanDuel. We thank FanDuel, as always, for throwing their name on this very show. Looking at the lobby today over there, $500,000 jumbo dunk. That's the $150 buy-in. And $500,000 prize pool, $100K to first place. You bink that once, and it pretty much sets you up for the entire year of DFS. That's how the GPP world kind of works. It's hard to necessarily win these all that often, but if you get one nice night, again, it covers almost a season's worth. So certainly check that out. The shot today at $400K on the $3 buy-in, and not one, but two World Fantasy Football or Basketball Championship qualifiers, a 25 and a 565. So an 11 or a 1,445 person field and a 67 person dollar person field. And props to winning 247. RG contributor punched his ticket to the basketball championship last night, I saw on Twitter. Jack's been a great contributor here over the last couple months to what we're doing at RG, and always happy to see him do well. I know he's had a lot of success getting to live finals, and he's back once again down to Miami. So if you want to join him, a couple of tournaments available to you on FanDuel. And crossing my fingers that late this week we got the official announcement about, I don't know, something that we've done with FanDuel and other sports and are hoping to do with basketball. You listen to this podcast, if you play on FanDuel and you know Roto Grinders, you can probably figure out what that is, but I'm not going to say it because, well, it's not official. So I just kind of allude to things. So hopefully we got that announcement coming up later this week, but it's great. It's something that's awesome for the industry. And we're happy to be a part of it. So be on the lookout for that announcement coming up a little bit later on this week. Also today, one thing that I just put up on Twitter. And, oh, and by the way, let me get to this. If you don't subscribe to us, you really should. Because, well, first and foremost, like, that's what it's about. Like, getting the podcast on demand. We got all of our shows on demand, so it's an easy way to get all the content that's media-wise on RG right to your phone, device, whatever. But last night, I posted the TPOY interview I did with Sahil Sood. Sood, of course, Sahil is arguably, I mean, I don't think too many people would consider themselves better players than him, but he is our champion and a guy who is puts in an immense amount of time and effort into playing DFS. And we talked to him about a lot of really, you know, hot button industry topics. So I hope people give that a listen. It's going to be on our archives, should be on the right side of the Grinders page, and of course on our podcast page. So check that out. I really appreciate Sahil giving me his time for that. And I thought he was pretty candid on a lot of his answers, you know, about the future of the industry, pro players versus new players, things that are good and bad, the rake, all that kind of stuff. So check out that interview. I think you'll find it interesting. Also today on Twitter, I ended up posting a Twitter poll. Not something I do often, but the wonders of Twitter is that you get to see the interactions between different people. It's kind of like you can like spy on them a little bit, but it's all done publicly. So it's not really spying. It's just like, oh, I follow you. I follow you. They're chatting and I can see what they're chatting about. And I know yesterday, John Aguiar of DraftKings tweeted out, we're, you know, looking at MLB for this season, doubt we're going to make any changes. Is there anything that you would be interested in doing. And one suggestion, I want to say it was Ryan Hodge, I think. I'm not 100% sure, but might have been him. But somebody, nonetheless, said, hey, what about the possibility of making the catcher position utility in baseball? So therefore, it gives us a little bit more flexibility. Catcher's a position we're usually kind of punting, maybe filling in last anyway. Because the one problem you run into a lot with baseball is, you know, they've got, especially in the American League, you got two guys at the first base position, and one of them is usually like a designated hitter. So can't always have both those guys in your lineup. Having a utility position would allow you to do that. Now, people forget, but DraftKings last year started the season for maybe like a day or two. It wasn't long at all. Went with two outfielders and a utility instead of three outfielders. And they quickly made a pivot on that and moved back to their standard, you know, every single position. Catcher, first base, second base, shortstop, third base, three outfielders, two starting pitchers. So this would be an alternative to allow them to bring in a utility, but not necessarily add a roster spot. Doesn't seem like they really want to add a roster spot. I thought about it, and I don't really have a strong opinion on this. This is one of those things where, like, if I was the one making the choice here, I would probably not make that change. Simply because, again, I hate stacking. It's not my favorite thing in the world, but it's a part of daily fantasy baseball. And I accept it, but I don't think we should do things that make it even easier for people to stack. And I think that adding that utility spot kind of does that because, well, as I said, it gives you the ability to roster guys who might be at the same position on the same team. At least in its current form, you've got to make that decision of which guy you want to roster. But this is also something that, like, I don't think is the end of the world if they decided to pull that trigger. Like, it's not anything for me to go on my soapbox and podcast and call out DraftKings and this and that. I would not do that on this because it doesn't really bother me that much. But if it was my personal decision to make, I would probably leave it at is. But I'm curious what you guys would think. So check me out on Twitter at Dan_Bach. And it's, should DraftKings change catcher to utility? Love it or hate it. And we'll report back on some results of that maybe tomorrow. But again, for me, I didn't want to put in a third, like, I don't care, because that's always a cop-out. I love people having kind of a, you know, one side or the other. So if I was going to vote, I'd have to say hate it, even though I don't hate it. But I probably hate it more than I love it. Does that make sense? I hope it does. So baseball season, still a ways to go. We're going to be obviously having some awesome content. Got talking with the best friends. We're going to be doing some baseball previews with the best friends, which is awesome. Tony, Crane, and of course our boy Cheese, who's probably chomping at the bit to get back at some Major League Baseball because it's his thing. You know, Cheese is good. Two-time million-dollar winner in MLB and just awesome on the shows. He's really talented guy. All right, well, let's get to NBA tonight. Last night was so-so for me. Not great, not terrible. Could have been better. Hopefully tonight we can put you where you need to be. The slate, not too bad today. Not too many games. I think we're sitting at about six games on the slate, and a few injury concerns to kind of keep our eye on. So we're going to go game by game. We're going to look at FanDuel, and yeah, let's get into it. Let's start with the injuries here. We don't have a lot of totals on games right now. I think we've only got, 210 on Knicks in Philly, 204 Memphis in Oklahoma City, and 209 Orlando in the Clippers. Cleveland, Portland, no line. Washington, Boston, no line. And Houston, Timberwolves, no line. So we'll kind of have to see where those kind of come in at. But some of the injury potential issues we have are with those games. So let's start, you know, on the injury front. You know, yesterday was, you know, a ton of stuff kind of came out after the podcast yesterday. So, you know, again, this is very fluid on what's going to happen here. You've got to imagine Austin Rivers returns to the Clippers. He missed that last game with a illness. So look for him likely to return in that game for Orlando. Cleveland and Portland, I'm not seeing too much. I'm a little surprised there is no line on this one. I mean, we saw Kyle Korver end up playing a little bit yesterday. I don't think he played particularly well. I only watched most of the first half. Yeah, 18 minutes, 4.6 fantasy points. But a back end of the back-to-back on the road, leaving Utah. I guess they didn't get to Portland until like 5 in the morning. And there might even be like some weather issues with this game. So keep your eye on that situation. I think that's probably more the reason behind it. But it was a really late night, I know, for Cleveland, leaving Utah and getting to Portland. So keep our eye on that situation. Washington and Boston, Avery Bradley looking like a game-time decision here today. He had been ruled out of the game yesterday. We'll see if he plays tonight in this matchup against Washington at home. If not, again, Marcus Smart, you know, he played well again. That's three consecutive games for him to, you know, get major run, 35, 40, and 33 fantasy points. He's only 5,200. Just like you feel like Smart, not likely he's going to get there, but he's done it recently in this matchup versus Washington. Pretty favorable. Oklahoma City and Memphis, not too much on the injury front in this game. Houston and Minnesota, Zach LaVine is the one that we're waiting on with the hip issue. And that's pretty big because I think it can open up a few more shots for obviously guys like Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns. Because you look at LaVine and, you know, he's a bit of a chucker. You know, he's a guy who can throw up, you know, 15 to 20 shots a game sometimes. So those are going to have to go somewhere. And those are the biggest beneficiaries likely of that news. And then New York and Philadelphia, again, I think Embiid is good to go on this one. So no issues on the injury front there. Even if, and by the way, Derrick Rose is supposed to play in this game. So let's start with this one. New York and Philly. And, you know, TJ McConnell is out there at 5,400. And even though Sergio Rodriguez is back, McConnell's kind of earned the starting role here lately. But both FanDuel and DraftKings have juiced up his salary to a point where I just don't think we can play him. 24 fantasy points last game against Brooklyn at 5,400. That's really not good enough for me, I think. He did have a 41, 28, 29, but those were also when he was in the 4K ranges. At 5,400 against New York here, I don't really see myself going there today. Derrick Rose, you know, the interesting thing is he's going to start, he's going to play. Is there going to be any, you know, repercussions from him basically just bailing on the team and, you know, not showing up and not letting anybody know about it? It sounds like just a fine is what's going to go on. But there's one of two things that can likely happen here is Derrick Rose just goes ham. And it wouldn't, against TJ McConnell, is not really a great defender. It could easily happen because Rose is a guy who likes to get to the bucket. And I could see him say, hey, this is a statement game for me. I'm not disgruntled. Now, he did get benched in the fourth quarter of that last game against Indiana. Some speculation there. He's way too risky to play in any sort of cash formats, but he'll probably be lower owned than he should be based on the matchup. I'm not going the route of Brandon Jennings. Obviously, he played a good run in that Indiana game and then tons of run in that New Orleans game. Barring some sort of change in the status of Derrick Rose, I'm probably not paying $4,900 for Brandon Jennings today. At shooting guard, again, Courtney Lee at 4,200. He works to a point, but just zero upside. He's not a tournament-winning player in my eyes, so I don't see me going there. We also saw Nick Stauskas, though, finally have a pretty good game against Brooklyn that last time out. 15 real-life points, gave us 25 fantasy points. He is 3,700. If he draws the start today, I actually would save 500 and go him over Lee today and just pray the shots are falling, but not a guy that I particularly need to have in my lineups tonight. At small forward, the two guys, we've got Covington, we've got Carmelo Anthony. Covington's all over the map. He has been over 30 in three of his last four. At 5,500, I think he'll be somewhat popular here today, and rightfully so at that salary. Just know that he can easily slide back to 15 or so. And then as for Melo, looking like more of a play on DraftKings and FanDuel. I think he's in the low sevens or mid sevens there. At 8K on FanDuel, certainly has 40, you know, even 50 fantasy point upside we saw a couple of weeks ago against Milwaukee. And this matchup versus Philly is fine. You know, not the highest expected total here, 210. I don't have him on my initial build, but you know, the likelihood he's going to get thrown out again, I don't know. I mean, that's just kind of like the variance that, hits in DFS from time to time. And I think the last time he got thrown out, he bounced back with a really big effort. So if that means anything to you, you could go there. I'll be curious to see the ownership on Porzingis here against Embiid in Philadelphia. Last game was disappointing. Really, the last three games have been somewhat disappointing. 17, 30, 36 is tolerable. The question is, at 7,900, do we prefer him or Kevin Love tonight? Assuming that game goes off as planned, I think it's Kevin Love at just a couple hundred more. But could be an interesting back and forth with Joel Embiid if you wanted to kind of stack that game up. As for Ersan, 5,900, a decent enough salary for him today. The minutes still seem pretty secure. 26, 32, 32, 37. He gets more run when Embiid is not playing, but I think he's solidified his role enough in this offense to be a contributor. Like him much more than Nerlens Noel, who is starting to get more run, 24 and 25 minutes the last two games. I just don't think this is a good spot for him. Like, they got to trade him or Okafor enough. They just got to do that. Move one of these guys. So not a play for me today in this matchup. Saric, again, with Noel getting more run, just not the upside for me. Minutes are there, but just without an injury, I can't do it. Embiid today, absolutely a guy that I like, especially on FanDuel at 7,500. I think he is 8K on DraftKings, so he's a bit more, but the 28th ranked team DVP for New York, and just Joakim Noah is not going to be able to guard Joel Embiid, and he's trying to get into the All-Star game. Hope he makes it. I don't know that he will, but I hope that he does. Fun player, great player, and I don't see a lot of downside to him at all in this matchup. You know, you compare him to other players in that price range, better than Horford, probably better than DeAndre Jordan, who I am sneaky high on today. And then Vucevic, Plumlee, Gortat, those guys all over the map. So I think Embiid might be chalky tonight, but I do like him a lot in this matchup. Houston and Minnesota, 3rd and 4 for Houston, and kind of worries me here a little bit with a guy like James Harden. 38 minutes, but he scored 40 points and had triple-doubles in each of the last two games, has gone over 60 fantasy points in them. And he really hasn't been bad on the back end of back-to-backs, but I'm a little bit worried about this spot for him considering the salary at 12-4. He did not make my initial roster build today. I just don't think I can fit him. And then you've got Westbrook in at a high price tag too in a tough matchup. I think both these guys are potentially fadeable today unless major value opens up. And I don't see a ton of value opening up. Now, Harden, if you can fit him, great. But I don't think he's going to make my build here today. I think he's just too pricey on FanDuel at 12-4. We'll see in the news with Zach LaVine. If he plays, it's kind of interesting because, again, shooting guard right now, DVP-wise, you've got the Houston Rockets sitting at 24th. Now, LaVine, this guy is a bit up and down anyway, but could be, you know, if you want to roster and stack this game up, putting those guys together might not be the worst move. But 3rd and 4 nights here for Houston. I'll be curious to see what number this one rolls in with this roll with this game at Minnesota. If it's over like 220 today, might change my mind. But if it's under, that's kind of what I'm expecting to come in. So we'll see. Eric Gordon didn't play yesterday. Didn't really do much except open up more shots for James Harden. So, you know, yeah, so like maybe a few more minutes. I think Sam Decker yesterday ended up getting up to 21 minutes. So he's in the 20s. Typically, he's been in the teens. So small rise for him. Ariza played 40 minutes. And that small forward Ariza is kind of interesting just because he's so locked in. But 3rd and 4 nights and played 40 minutes each of the last two games as well. I think that's going to catch up with Ariza. At just 5,800, assuming if LaVine doesn't play, give me Wiggins all day long at just 500 more in this matchup at home. Over at power forward here today, Gorgui Dieng, I just can't figure out. I probably am not going there with him. 5,500. Tempo up game doesn't certainly hurt him one bit. Last time, though, against Houston, only 16 fantasy points in that matchup. So I think I'll probably steer clear of Dieng. And same with Ryan Anderson. Although Minnesota does struggle against three-point shooters. So with that in mind, this might be a matchup for him to play well. And, oh, yeah, he scored 28 fantasy points or 28 real-life points in that last game against Minnesota. So if you look at the trend, everything kind of makes sense. Anderson could be that guy at 5,200 in GPPs, though, for me. I'm probably not doing it in cash. And then the Cat at 9.5 here against Houston. If he gives you 50, almost 60 like he did against Dallas, you love him. But four games prior to that, hasn't been particularly great. Did go for a 63 burger the last time we saw this matchup take place. I just like saving 2K on Embiid and say, okay, if Anthony goes for 40, I'm in a way better spot because I think I'm going to get upper 30s, low 40s from Embiid. If he goes for 50 or 60, then you're probably saying, man, I kind of screwed the pooch there. But Towns not a core play as of this morning for me. Memphis OKC, again, Westbrook at 12-1. He's Russell Westbrook. What more can I say? Last game, when you're disappointed at 51 fantasy points, that should tell you something. But this matchup versus Memphis, not an easy one. The number three team DVP against point guards. Lowish total. I actually like Mike Conley a good bit on the other side. You've got Westbrook, who doesn't play a ton of defense. Conley at 7,200 is reasonable. And he's been over 40 fantasy points in two of the last three, and even last game, if he gets you 35 at 7,200, you'll take it all day long. And the minutes pretty secured, 35, 41, 36. So I do like me some Mike Conley today. At shooting guard, Depot's fairly priced, but I think Fournier is the better play at shooting guard today at the same salary. Roberson, if you need a scrub for your stars and scrubs, he works because he's going to play a lot of minutes. Been locked in over 30 for four consecutive games, five of the last six, and playing all right. Made value three of the last four, 16 last game. Isn't great, but doesn't totally destroy you at 3,800. But stars and scrubs play only. At power forward, you've got the guys like Zebo and Enes Kanter. Man, those guys squaring off kind of interesting. Zebo been solid each of the last two games against Utah and Golden State. He's kind of cut into Jamichael Green. I know he missed a couple of games because of an injury, but did come back and played. There's still 32 minutes last game, but Randolph at 6K, probably not for me. You could do it, though. I mean, again, if you've got Oak, I'm not saying you're wrong for doing it, but probably not for me. Cantor at 57, he's 300 cheaper. Minutes are going to be less, but the production seemingly better per minute. I think I'd save 300 to go to him if I'm picking a power forward in this game. And then Gasol and Adams. Love Steven Adams. Can he keep it going, though, against a really tough defender here in Gasol is the question. Over 30 in four of his last five games, and the one he didn't reach it, he was at 28, which is pretty solid. 6K, still not high enough. Should be like 6,500. So we're getting value on him on FanDuel today. Gasol on the other side, probably not going there. Last game against Utah, we can throw out 35, 40, 40 is okay at 8,200. But savings on Embiid against Joakim Noah is a preferred matchup for me. Washington and Boston, IT2 at 8,900. Last game didn't hit 40 fantasy points. He's a scorer, though. He still scored you 27 in this matchup versus John Wall, especially Bradley's out. We've seen him, get more aggressive offensively. He's fine. You look at the last back ends of the back-to-back, he's been really good. 52 points on the 30th after playing the 29th, and 38 points, and this is real-life points, not even fantasy points, on the back end of this last one on the 7th and the 6th. So he's been fine. He's actually been really good, I'm looking at, on the back end of back-to-backs this year. But that price tag is just tough for me to swallow here today at 8,900. Definitely, if you're stacking that game up, get a piece of him. Smart, only if Bradley is out do we consider him at 52. I like him better than TJ McConnell at that similar price point. Bradley Beal at 69, pretty pricey for me. I think I'd rather go up or go down, so I don't see him making my teams today. I think we saw Gerald Green get some extended run the last two nights as well. Yeah, 24 minutes yesterday versus Toronto. And you're like, 18 fantasy points isn't good, but at 3,500, it's close. You know, you get to 20 and you're happy. So, again, Bradley's out. Can throw him in stars and scrubs teams to get the high price guys if you want. I like the price on Otto Porter today at 5,900. Last night against Chicago, didn't really get it done. Three games prior to that, he most certainly did. So, yeah, I like some Otto Porter today at 59. Jay Crowder at 5K, he's okay. Not been great lately. Certainly has 30 fantasy point possibility, but hasn't reached it in a long time. I'd probably pass on him today. Power forward, Markieff Morris. Are we a believer here? 5,100. This is back-to-back games for the Keefe at 29 and 36. So starting to get it done. And like I mentioned yesterday, it kind of goes in line with the production of Gortat. You know, Gortat's been below his season average the last two games when Markieff has been above his season average. Gortat, he's kind of, you know, he doesn't bother me that he played 42 minutes. You look at the last back end of the back-to-back, he played 40 minutes. He followed it up with another 40 minutes and gave you 38 fantasy points. So shouldn't affect him. A little bit earlier this year, followed it up with a 43-minute game, 21-13-1 against Indiana. So the last couple back end of the back-to-backs, he's been just fine on. The price is fair on Gortat, but again, don't play him and Markieff. Just pick one. As of now, I'm on Markieff over him. Noah Mir for me. Al Horford, I just can't play him today. No thanks. I think there's better upside in other players, so I'm not going to go there today. Cleveland and Portland, again, assuming this game plays and everything's on schedule, the late travel for Cleveland does worry me a little bit. Got in, again, like I think I read 5 a.m. this morning. Both these teams did play yesterday. Again, Portland played the Lakers, I think, in L.A., and then we had Utah out there, or Cleveland out there in Utah. A pretty decent matchup for both point guards. I think I'm really only playing them versus each other here rather than, you know, on an island. Kyrie, you know, everybody was pretty much, I think maybe outside of LeBron, was below their season average yesterday. Not surprising, but not one, you know, just not really one-off guys for me. If I'm stacking the game up, maybe. McCollum is the guy I'm a little bit interested in just based on that shooting guard position, especially if we're not going to be playing James Harden today. You know, we've seen him even get 50 with Damian Lillard in there. We saw that two games ago against Detroit. This matchup should set up well, could get some time against, you know, not a high-end defender there in, what, Liggins and Korver. So I don't mind C.J. McCollum today at 8,700. It's not cheap price tag, but a little bit of interest there. LeBron, there's a reason to consider him here today, obviously assuming he plays. The back end of the back-to-back does worry me. Could they save on minutes? But he does just seem opportunity cost at the position. He just seems so much greater than everybody else. And, you know, in terms of one of the toughest matchups we've had, he's going to have is on the road in Utah. He still came through with 29-6-5 and 4 steals, so almost got you to 50 fantasy points. So he's absolutely in play in this game against Portland, which is just very weak defensively. Turner, Harkless, kind of cutting into each other's production. Harkless yesterday kind of got there at 27 fantasy points, played 32 minutes. That was weird, though. Plumlee didn't play much in that second half, so he got a lot more run. But the guys that I like are potentially your power forward, Love and Aminu. Love on the high end for sure, and Aminu's been getting heavy run at 4.6. He'll probably be chalk here as he's made value in like four consecutive games, 36, 29, 32, 27, with really steady minutes there. And yeah, he makes sense as an option today on the cheap where there's not a lot to love. Plumlee against Tristan Thompson. Again, hard to know what happened with Plumlee yesterday. Only played 24 minutes, got you 24 fantasy points. Plays 40 minutes, he gets you 40 fantasy points. Maybe it was the back-to-back. They wanted to save him for this game versus Cleveland. But at 67, not a cheap enough tag for me. Orlando and the Clippers. Clippers, such a better defensive team here when Chris Paul is around, so we'll keep our eye on this. Alfred Payton is questionable here, the bruised quad. I guess if he would sit, you could consider DJ Augustine at 3,700 just because he's probably going to lock in, say, 30 minutes here today. And the last two, he's been at 28 and scored 23 fantasy points, which he'll take for 3,700. But against Chris Paul, it's not a great matchup. So, not super excited about the possibility of rostering either of those two guys, but could be in play. Be curious. Let me see. I think we got a line in this one, right? Yeah, we got Clippers by 10. Pretty strong favorites here. Paul, for me, GPP play. I think he's borderline cash because he feels like he's a lock for 40 today. We saw him get to 56 the other game against Miami in just 29 minutes. Heavier usage with no Chris Paul or with no Blake Griffin. He just hasn't played a lot of games because of that injury. But super steady performer here. Should be able to do what he wants against Orlando. I'm fine with him if he can make it work. At shooting guard, or let me also talk about Austin Rivers. I think he's absolutely in play today. Sat out last game with the illness. Should return tonight. But the two games prior, and one of those was, I believe one of those was with Chris Paul. He scored 31 fantasy points at 4,400. Like, I much prefer him over a McConnell today. So, yeah, he's still going to score. And he probably, you know, he's probably better off with Chris Paul in there than Chris Paul not in there, just because Paul just gets so much attention. So, definitely some upside in Austin Rivers here today. I think Evan Fournier cash game playable, and so is J.J. Redick. I think both these guys have to get heavy looks here. 4,500. Redick's probably the preferred option. Big minutes for him each of the last two games. Last game might have been a little bit of an outlier because there was no Rivers. I don't think you're playing Rivers and Redick. I think you're likely choosing one of those guys. But at the same price, different positions, you can diversify some lineups there. And I'm fine with Fournier too. A bit more expensive though at 5,800, but I think he can fit your build today for sure. 35 minutes in each of the last two games. And if we're out without Payton, Ibaka as well is kind of game time decision. If somehow he would sit, that would open up a ton more shots for an Evan Fournier. Aaron Gordon and GPPs only, not in cash games. Serge Ibaka, probably in GPPs only, but not even that format. I'm probably not playing a whole lot of Serge. He's been better, though. You know, he's kind of figured out his role on this team. Heavy enough minutes where he should be in play, but 6,700, kind of no man's land for me at that position. And then at center, I think there's a case to be made to look to DeAndre Jordan today at 7,500. He is, you know, last game against Miami, 29 fantasy points. That's a really tough matchup, though, against Whiteside. 37, 44, 39 the other games. I think he can match Embiid for sure tonight at like that same price point. I think he's the pivot, though, in GPPs at half the ownership, likely, of Embiid. Vucevic, man, I've gone down this path a good bit and, you know, got their last game against the Lakers in just 26 minutes. But, man, those minutes, if, you know, if things don't go as planned, he's screwed. Like, you know, Houston and Atlanta under 30 fantasy points. I think we got to consider him only for GPPs here today. Let me look quickly on FanDuel. He is, or DraftKings. He's 300 cheaper on DraftKings. Potentially a little bit more in play there with multiple position eligibility for centers and power forwards. But, yeah, not the guy I'm probably playing on FanDuel here today. All right, that kind of wraps it up. Let me throw Biombo real quick in there too, 4.2 if you need a crapper. Finally had a pretty big game last time out with 24 fantasy points. That was versus the Lakers. Not an offensive-minded player, and honestly, that actually kind of interests me a little bit more in DeAndre Jordan, because Jordan, he can come off of Biombo a good bit because he's not going to have to worry so much about him offensively. So could be a, you know, I think DeAndre Jordan moving up my board just a little bit. But Biombo, if you stars and scrub in it, you need a scrub at center. He is probably your preferred option today under 5K. All right, that's it. We are done with our game analysis here. Let me tell you about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Great supporter of the Fix. And when it comes to those big decisions in life, like choosing a mortgage lender, it's important to Work with someone that you can trust, who has your best interests in mind. And Rocket Mortgage, they'll get you a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share your financial info and get a mortgage approval in minutes. You can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time, making you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. Now, whether you're looking to buy a home, refinance an existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, go completely online at quickenloans.com/roto. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. That's going to do it for us today. Back again on a Thursday edition of The Fix tomorrow. Tonight on SiriusXM, two shows for you. That's right. We've got regular Roto Grinders. It's Justin and Beer tonight. And then Roto Grinders Golf. Justin's going to stick around for another hour and talk golf with David Barnett of the Tour Junkies. So we're proud to bring you that show. That's going to be on demand as well on SiriusXM if you can't catch it live. So get the app if you don't have it in your car. Easy way to listen through your car on the SiriusXM app. So check that out. We're done today. Thanks so much for listening and downloading. You got any feedback on anything we've got going on here at Roto Grinders, obviously podcast related. I'm the man who can help you out most. I'm happy to hear from you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Good luck tonight, and we will see you.